So what I'm going to do is I'm simply going to read these 10 verses, and it's Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read them, and then we're going to go back and we're going to talk about it a little bit, and hopefully with the Lord put on my heart, it will bless you. Amen? So I have in my Bible, short and sweet. Short and sweet, because it is, it's 10 verses, but there's so much packed in there. So Luke chapter 19, and Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. And there was a man called Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was trying to see Jesus, which one he was, but he could not on account of the crowd, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus reached the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down, and he received and welcomed him joyfully. And when the people saw it, they all muttered among themselves and indignantly complained, he has gone in to be the guest of and lodge with a man who is devoted to sin and preeminently a sinner. So then Zacchaeus stood up and solemnly declared to the Lord, see, Lord, the half of my goods I now give by way of restoration to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I now restore four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today is messianic and spiritual. Salvation come to all the members of this household, since Zacchaeus too is a real spiritual son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So it's a nice, cute little story of a man in a town, right? Wrong. So I entitled this message, Just Passing Through. And if you are aware of this timeline, Jesus went on to do many things in his ministry. This encounter is one of the last things he does. Right after this, he moves into Jerusalem, and shortly after takes place the crucifixion. So Jesus literally was just passing through Jericho on his way to a greater purpose. But he didn't miss the little purposes. No pun intended. So I'm going to read this again, and I want to share with you some of the things the Lord gave me. And if you want to jot them down, you can. So Luke 19, 1 through 10. Here we go. And Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. So seemingly no initial intention of stopping. He was just passing through. It was just the town you go through to get to Jerusalem, right? And there was a man called Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So you can just kind of skip through that verse, but what I got from that scripture verse, when you break that down, Zacchaeus was the head of all tax collectors. He was the chief tax collector. And later we learn he was a self-proclaimed cheater from his own mouth, considered by people someone who was devoted to sin and preeminently a sinner from the mouths of those around him. So being rich, the argument could be made that his wealth was accumulated through dishonest means. And the people knew it and possibly could do nothing about it because of his position. And if he was corrupt and presided over all the tax collectors, it's probably safe to assume the entire system was also corrupt. So we're going to put a little Jamie pin in that. All right? And we're going to come back to that. Verse 3, and he was trying to see Jesus, which one he was, but he could not on account of the crowd because he was small in stature. So it never says that Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus, only that he wanted to see Jesus. And I find it interesting that it goes a step further. It could have just said he wanted to see Jesus, but it goes on to say which one he was, because Jesus was traveling with his disciples. And then we get the memorable description that he was small in stature. Now, you can argue that his height was important because of what comes next in the story, because he climbed a tree. Or you could say it's not really a crucial fact. You could have just said Zacchaeus was on the outskirts of the crowd, couldn't see Jesus, and went for a better view. But it makes a point to mention his stature. And I would suggest that the Bible tells us this because it gives us a deeper look at not just what Zacchaeus looked like, but maybe also how he saw himself. How he measured himself to other men of power and esteem in this world, which is why he says he was trying to see Jesus, which one he was. So he was a power, he was a man of prestige in Jericho. But maybe he didn't see himself that way. But here comes this man he hears about, this man named Jesus, who's done these amazing things. And it doesn't say, man, I'd love to meet Jesus and talk with him and ask him questions about the word. No, he merely just wanted to see him, which one he was. Which man was this man that he had heard so much about, and what did he look like? How did he compare to the other men around him? And so not a desire to meet him and feel out his character, but maybe what made Jesus so special? What set him apart from other men? So keep in mind also, when you read through the Gospels, in most accounts, when Jesus encounters people personally, there is a specific need. 10 lepers, he prays for them. How many go out? And how many comes back? Now, when you read that story and you kind of study around that, a little side note, back in those days, if you were presumed healed of leprosy, it was mandatory that you go to the local church and be verified that you were healed. So 9 of them did that. 1 of them didn't need to do it. 1 of them knew and believed he received a healing. And that's why that story is so significant, because he got a little ways, but then turned around and went back to thank Jesus. He didn't run off with the 9 saying, let's go make sure everything's going to stay on tonight when we go to sleep. But in most encounters that Jesus has with people, there is a specific need. The woman at the well, right? Jairus' daughter. But in this account, there is no specific need. It's one man merely wanting to lay eyes on someone he heard about. So verse 4, so he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see him. It says again, for he was about to pass that way. So a fun fact, I looked it up. There is a tourist attraction in Jericho to this day that is called the Zacchaeus tree. And it is a sycamore that has been verified to be over 2,000 years old. And it stands at a major intersection in Jericho. And so if you go online, you can see a picture. It's the tree has all been cut down. It's just the root, the kind of the base of the tree with some areas where they cut off. It's encased in glass, and it has like a little plaque. They don't know if it's the specific tree, but it's there to honor that story. But I want you to think for a moment. So you are this chief tax collector, and you can't get a good look at who's passing by. How dignified is it to go run and climb up a tree? How many officials would you see climb up a tree? Everyone is very prim and proper when you're at a certain point in how you conduct yourself. But he was so interested that he went beyond his position and did something undignified to get a better view. So he climbs this tree. And then I also had some questions. How did he know it would work? How did he know he could make it up the tree? Why would he take the chance of hiking up whatever he had on to make the, I mean, it's less embarrassing to climb the tree than it is to fall out of the tree as you're trying to climb the tree. How did he know it would work? How did he know that he could make it up high enough? How did he know that he could see? A lot of questions. Had he climbed this tree before? And I thought to myself, too, I wanted to know, what does a sycamore tree appear like at that time of year? Now, again, if you study this out, this is at the end of March, right before the crucifixion. So everything is sort of starting to bloom. So if this tree was blossomed and in bloom, guess what? Zacchaeus would be well hidden in this tree. So I don't think he wanted to be seen. I think he ran ahead trying to cut everybody off, thinking he was going to outwit everyone, and I'll climb this tree, and I'll hide in this tree, and I'll accomplish what I want to accomplish, and I'll get to see who this Jesus is. And then I thought, now this is a Jamieism. I know Pastor Paul has his Pastor Paulisms, but when I'm reading the word, I sometimes I see it like a movie. And of course you have your flashbacks, right? And I almost thought, again, going back to how did he know he can climb it? How did he know what branch to sit on? How did he know where he needed to be to get a view? Who knows if he hadn't tried to climb this tree before, maybe in his youth? What if he had been mocked as a youth? Kids chasing him through the town of Jericho. And he knew he could climb that tree to get away and watch and see what was going on. He knew just where to look from, just where to peek from. I think he was comfortable with the decision he had made to try to climb that tree, that he could climb the tree, and that he knew a good spot. And verse 5 says, and when Jesus reached the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. What did Zacchaeus see and experience in that tree in those moments as he watched that crowd draw closer to him? What interactions did he see between Jesus and these people? We'll never know, it doesn't say, but you can bet if it's Jesus, he was probably being Jesus, right? So if you take anything from the other Gospels, who knows, he could have been healing people, he could have been speaking words to people. What did he experience as he was in that tree, as that crowd drew closer, and he was trying to identify which one Jesus was? And you wonder at what point he makes this identification of which one he is, if he does. Or does he not even know which one's Jesus until Jesus addresses him? And Jesus stops underneath this tree and calls him out by name. And where in the story did it say that Jesus knew his name? Earlier it said that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. So had Jesus heard of him before? Did he know of him already? I believe Jesus knew him by the Spirit. Maybe God called an audible in that moment and said, hey, Jesus, just peek up that tree. There's a gentleman looking down from you. And Jesus kind of, Zacchaeus, get down from here. But Jesus was constantly and consistently in God's will. And look what he could accomplish when that was the fact and that was the case. And then I have here a pillar's point, because I know someone said it, but I forget who it was. Jesus knew his name might have been the moment of personal proof to Zacchaeus. Maybe everything he saw, he was still just sort of interested in watching this man and seeing how he was carrying himself. But when Jesus looked up and called him out by name, it was the final confirmation that Zacchaeus needed to really not only know who Jesus was, but to believe who he was. And so I want to pause just for a moment and share some thoughts. So Zacchaeus wanted only to see Jesus, as it says, but it was Jesus who saw Zacchaeus. And from the perspective of Zacchaeus, if you thought little of yourself, and here comes this man that was surrounded by multitudes, and he stops and sees you and addresses you by name, and in front of everyone who you know despises you because you are a cheater and a sinner, which it says later, so we get the opinion in from his own perspective and from the people's perspective. And most likely when they talk ill of you in an attempt maybe to hurt you because you're cheating them, they may target your physical stature to try to demean you. It's interesting that even makes a point to tell us what he looks like. But on this day, none of that mattered because this man, Jesus, says in front of everyone, I must stay at your house today. Think of those words. I must stay at your house today. Jesus didn't say, can I? Zacchaeus, mind if I come over today and break bread with you? Zacchaeus, come on down. I'd like to go to your house. Zacchaeus, if it isn't too much trouble, maybe your wife could throw something together. He says, I must, indicating to me this was necessary in order to accomplish something. I'm just going to put another Jamie pin right there. Verse 6, so he hurried and came down, and he received and welcomed him joyfully. So what started as a curiosity, and whatever Zacchaeus' reasons were to see Jesus that day, Jesus found him, invited himself into Zacchaeus' home and life. But the other end of that is Zacchaeus also chose to respond by receiving and welcoming Jesus joyfully. So not cautiously or politically. Zacchaeus wasn't in political mode We know that because he climbed a tree as an official. But he wasn't thinking, I can't align myself with this man. How is this going to make me look? He joyfully receives him. And I would argue that Zacchaeus was so touched by this event, his guard was down and his heart was truly open. And I have another pillars point, and in this one I know was Scott's. And Scott said, when he was reading, Zacchaeus went up that tree one way. Don't miss this. Zacchaeus went up that tree one way, but came down another. His heart change took place in that tree. And he was ripe spiritually for the picking. No pun intended, because he was up a tree. Verse 7, and when the people saw it, they all muttered among themselves and indignantly complained, he has gone in to be the guest of and lodge with a man who is devoted to sin and preeminently a sinner. So, interesting, if you look at this from perspective of those who were loved Jesus and worship Jesus and were following him around, politically for Jesus, this was one of the worst moves he could make. Think about it. And one of the worst men he could have associated himself with in this town. So he is surrounded by people who love him and want to touch him and get near him and get close to him, who all know who Zacchaeus is and what Zacchaeus represents. And here Jesus is aligning himself with a cheating tax collector in one sentence. Zacchaeus, come down from there, for I must come to your house today. Maybe they thought Jesus was just as crooked as Zacchaeus. I mean, if you put yourselves I don't want to throw any names out, but if you saw Jesus in the modern world and you see him go towards someone and say, I'm coming to your house, be like, why not my house? I did my devotions this morning, Jesus. I was first in line to greet you when you came into Jericho. I've been walked with you the whole, however many miles it took to get to this tree. But you're inviting the person who we know is a cheating sinner who didn't even really meet you and put all that effort in, hiding up in a tree. And think about the muttering, murmuring, rumors, conjecture, and accusations. But regardless, Jesus said, I must stay at your house today. God had a plan, and it wasn't for everyone to understand that plan in that moment, or for Jesus to look good in the eyes of the people, or for his decisions to make sense to their natural understanding. So I want everyone to do this. Pretend you're putting on a seatbelt, because buckle up. God has a plan for us. And it's not for us to understand. It's not always for us to understand what that plan is in that moment. Or for his decisions to make sense to our natural understanding. See, I'm reading this story and I bet you're thinking, oh, Jamie's going to somehow relate us to Zacchaeus. No. We're the murmuring, muttering people who complain and don't seem to understand what and why Jesus does what he does. Or why things happen. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 8, so then Zacchaeus stood up and solemnly declared to the Lord, see, Lord, the half of my goods I now give by way of restoration to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I now restore four times as much. So here's where we're going to pull out the Jamie pin that we put in there two times. So sure, Jesus could have spent the day and lodged at the home of the most faithful believer in Jericho. Because that would make sense to our natural man, right? And accomplish probably nothing. Or he could find and reach a soul that was lost and searching for something. Touch and change that man's life and everyone in his household, as it tells us. But don't miss, and cause a restoration within that city that would trickle down from the once corrupt chief tax collector through the system he worked for, which was also probably corrupt, and into the streets to the very people who were complaining about the choice Jesus made in the first place. But they would now be repaid what was unjustly stolen from them four times as much. So, put your seatbelt on again. We don't need to understand everything. Our responsibility is not to understand. Our responsibility is just to trust God. That God has a plan, even when it doesn't look like there's a plan in place. And that what the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. And Jesus said to him, today is messianic and spiritual salvation come to all the members of this household, since Zacchaeus too is a real spiritual son of Abraham. So that wasn't said lightly. Jesus wasn't saying that because this man chose to make a show. Well, I'm going to make a show now that I'm put on the spot, and I'm going to hop out of the tree and bring Jesus to my house, and oh, Jesus, I'm going to give everybody four times what I stole. No, he had a heart change that would never be the same. And Jesus gives him that assurance to be a spiritual son of Abraham. The verse prior was an act of repentance from Zacchaeus to Jesus. And because of his sincerity, he is saved along with his whole household and counted as a descendant of Abraham. In verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Doesn't that story make more sense now with that scripture verse? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So Zacchaeus may have thought he was looking for Jesus that day, but it was Jesus who was actually seeking him while passing through. And I would argue that Jesus accomplished more just passing through a town than most people accomplish in their entire lifetime when it comes to precipitating change. Are we catalysts for Christ? Do we allow our lives to be used to create change as we're passing through? So here's my takeaway from this account as it relates to us today and regarding people we may encounter, family, friends, coworkers, unsaved loved ones, maybe people we have written off in our own lives. Only we can attest to that truth. That's between us and the Lord. Are there people in our life that we've just written off? That we think are too far gone, the way this town saw Zacchaeus. So like Zacchaeus, we may come across people in this world as we are just passing through who think little of themselves because of how they see themselves, their self-image, self-worth. Maybe they've developed a negative reputation for themselves through their actions and interactions. Who may say, why bother to even try and change anymore? We don't know what was going through Zacchaeus' head that day, but he definitely wasn't looking to get saved. Didn't say he had a need to meet Jesus that day. He was just an onlooker. But the Lord knew that would be the day. We are to be fishers of men and reach the unreachable. And that doesn't just mean people in distant countries. That's Grumpy Gus down the street. That's complaining Karen down the two cubicles down from where we work or across the hall or the other side of the building. Come on, you know who I'm talking about, especially the ones laughing. And the world wants us to disregard and discard and meme people. And we laugh at memes, but let's be honest. Those people need Jesus. People who are in need of the truth we know and the knowledge we have of God's unconditional love. Do we notice? And if we notice, do we make time to care as we're passing through? Like Zacchaeus, there are those searching for something that money cannot buy. Don't forget it said he was rich. And that status and power cannot fulfill. And they are constantly seeking to find what their spirit man is craving and crying out for. Nikki and I were flipping through channels one night watching a show. The lengths that people go through for spiritual connection, consulting psychics, healers, and then they'll have these moments where they cry and they feel a release and they feel that you're such a blessing, I feel great. Sure, that'll get you through one day, but that's not genuine. That's not going to last. When we are within God's will, like Jesus in this account, our reputations should precede us. We should stand out to our unsaved family, our unsaved friends and coworkers. And like Zacchaeus, they should be able to say, Jesus, which one is he? Jesus, which one is he? Oh, there he is in Martin. There he is in Todd. the people in our lives who maybe we don't realize are watching us, maybe in a tree in full bloom. We're unaware that they're paying attention to how we're conducting ourselves with other people, and they're looking for something. Jesus, which one is he? Oh, there he is in Isaac. There he is in Brooke. We are that representation on earth as we're just passing through. Pastor said Sunday, we may be the only Bible people read. And by the love of God on the inside of us, we must see past the outer man and the reputation that precedes and surrounds people. And remember that every soul, rich or poor, regardless of who or what they appear to be, or how those around us may perceive them. Do we only see people through the eyes of others? Is our take on other people produced from what we hear in our workplace? Oh, so-and-so. Or when you move in, Nikki and I moved into a new neighborhood. We were just someone walk around the block, this little woman with a dog, and we were trying to be neighborly. Hey, how are you? Good. She had the dirt on everyone on the street. We had to just walk away. I didn't want to stop and hear about the dirty laundry of every person on that street. I don't want my view of someone to come from someone else. I want to go by and reach my hand out and pray for whoever I'm led to pray for and not feel like I can't stop and talk to that person because of their lifestyle. No, I want to be open as I'm passing through to be led by the Holy Spirit. So when you're in work and you might be new on a job and someone who you're under someone's wing and they're like, but stay away from George or, you know, don't go near Martha. But don't let other people's opinions or views stop you from taking notice, for making time, for praying for them outside of work, for a change. What if Jesus heard all the horrible things that people said and thought about Zacchaeus prior to their meeting and said, he doesn't really seem worth my time or effort? And he just continued on his way. How often do we miss opportunities because we just pass by them while we're passing through? Look at what was accomplished through that one conversation. The whole town was impacted. Don't underestimate in our own lives the value and impact of our just passing through a job, a school, a classroom, a store, a family gathering, a wedding. Don't just be there for you. Be there as Christ and be observant. We should be sowing seed wherever we go. And when we are in God's will, we don't need to understand, nor will we ever fully appreciate the magnitude of what God can accomplish through our lives. But this is one example, 10 verses, short verses. My notes were 100 times longer than the verses themselves. 10 short verses of what one encounter with Jesus, with a man who wasn't even looking for an encounter, caused in that town. We can have that. Think about what we can accomplish when we are obedient to his word, his prompts, and his desired direction for our lives. And we don't have to preach a sermon to save souls. I think a lot of people think, I'll just let the pastors take care of it. You don't need to preach a sermon to save souls. Jesus was going about his day, passing through, and his conversation was that he merely noticed Zacchaeus and was just friendly to him. Zacchaeus, come down from there. I must go to your house today. He didn't give him, to quote Pastor Carolyn, 7 points and a poem. He didn't come down and lay hands on him and say, you need to repent. He was just being kind. But Zacchaeus was ripe. Don't miss those that are ripe. Pray before you go into anything, store, work. Don't get out and say, you know, just pray. I remember Pastor saying this one time, how many of our prayers, if they were answered, affect other people? Or would affect other people? Take time in your car, get there 5 or 10 minutes early, and pray by name for everyone in your office, especially Grumpy Gus and Complaining Karen, the ones who you know. Stand out and watch the Lord use you to turn them around. And who knows what effect it'll have on their household and how that ripple effect continues to go. Every soul matters to God and longs to know him and to be known by him. Amen.